Welcome. You found us, Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. It is live, so you can join the conversation. Get your phone ready. 504-260-0995. That's how you can join the conversation. You can email and text the show as well through the Winning at Life app. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Financial situations, bring them on. 504-260-0995. Gregory's a Hall of Fame financial advisor. That's all. Maybe he can help you with your financial problems. And I know you got one you're worrying about right now, aren't you? How do I know? Because half of us are worrying about money right now. Hey, so top story of the day, at least nationwide, is this ridiculously huge. This thing looks so big on the radar, Gregory. This hurricane that's coming down. We'd like to take all the news of the day from the financial angle, if there's something good to go there. And absolutely, there's something great we can talk about here, because let's talk about what does financial planning look like in a disaster and hurricane prep. And you're like, hey, this is something we've been through before, Parker. I mean, haven't you been through a few hurricanes? Yeah, sure, but it changes every time. And let me tell you what the big number one difference is between if we have to do a big, serious hurricane evacuation now versus Hurricane Katrina. This. You see this, Gregory? I'm holding up my phone. I was doing a little research today on, you know, how to prep for a hurricane and keep your finances in order. And one of them was, go to the little safe where you have all your documents, your birth certificates, your Social Security cards for the whole family, all that good stuff. Take a picture of all that. Take a picture of, you know, your insurance. Have a picture of all this stuff already ready in your phone. If you don't have copies made in somewhere super duper safe in a watertight fireproof safe, this phone can be your document storage device that we didn't have in 2006.
And take a picture of your house, your vehicles.
Oh yeah, all that. Belongings. All that, yeah. Right.
Then you pretty much have an inventory of everything as well.
Exactly.
Important stuff. And compared to, yeah, we can do so much more with those devices now than we could back then.
Right. But that's where the changes start. But a lot of the other advice in here still kind of fits with what we've been used to even 12 years ago. Like if you have, because the hurricane's going to hit them, it'll start raining there pretty hard tomorrow night. But in earnest, the eye wall is going to make landfall sometime Thursday evening is what the projections look like now. Of course, it's all subject to change. But since you have a day or two advance, if this is happening to us, I recommend first thing you do is you go online and you pay all the bills up to date that you can possibly pay online and take care of. And you pay most of your bills online anyway. So make sure that water bill's up to date and your electricity bill's up to date. Your car insurance, if that's about to come up, because we renew ours every 6 months or whatever. Get as much of that stuff paid off as possible. Is that still making sense to you, Gregory?
Yeah, but can everybody do that?
I mean, if you can't pay your water bill right now, are you going to be able to pay it in 2 weeks when it's due?
Don't know, but you might not have the money until the check comes in 2 weeks to pay that one. What cycle is that on?
Oh, no. Well, see, then
you got to remember, everybody doesn't live like you.
Everybody, okay, then it goes to number three here, and that's emergency fund. That should just be number one, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Number one.
And we know most people don't, but this is one of the big reasons to have an emergency fund. This is what $5,000 of your money is for. Fuel that you didn't count on having to buy for a road trip, the food, the hotel, paying some bills early.
Missing work.
And missing work, you're going, this probably is affecting your paycheck for that cycle that you were going to pay the water bill and the electricity on and the truck note. Yeah, it may not be coming.
Is there ever?
You might not be working the next couple of weeks.
Is there ever an excuse to not have $5,000 in an emergency fund?
Yeah, because you just used it on an emergency, so you've got to build it back up.
So,
but I think, look, you know what? I think minimum emergency fund for anybody is $10,000. Five of it is if you live on a coastline in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gulf of Mexico.
It's a coastline. We're here.
Or the East Coast. Yeah, but there's some other borders, you know, on the Pacific.
Yeah, I guess LA doesn't get a lot of hurricanes, do they?
I haven't seen any hurricanes, really.
Good point.
Fires, they have different problems over there.
I've never been in an earthquake.
Up and run.
You ever been in an earthquake?
Well, they don't get much heads up, but when they tell you the fire is coming, they get fires over there.
True.
Quite a bit. That's the bigger scare than earthquakes, I guess. Not so many of those.
What's with that place always burning up? Okay, so.
Yeah, so once again, you have emergency money for that type of emergency, and then the other is if it runs more or other things that happen that can deplete it. You know, AC system, your biggest mechanical system in your house, what are you doing about that when it breaks? See, and that's where you get in the bind is, okay, no emergency money. Oh, that's what my credit card's for. Okay, and you got to pay that back.
Mm-hmm.
So that then becomes a problem as well. Emergency money, if you spend it, yeah, you've got to pay it back, but it doesn't have a due date coming up in a few weeks for a payment, and you're not charging yourself interest on the emergency fund as well. So that's one of the core reasons we talk about that. Now, when we shift over to, say, retirement, emergency fund needs to be larger because you're using it for a number of things, and it could be the down payment on the car that you didn't expect to buy right now but had to.
Right.
And why are we keeping, say, you know, when I think of core emergency fund for retirees, folks that are switching to passive income from multiple sources, is if you're having to hit your income producing assets, you're also hitting your income. You're affecting that. That's why you have more of emergency fund and you don't have that paycheck coming in. You're not doing earned income anymore. So emergency fund needs to be larger and last longer with a plan to replenish over time as well.
Another little tip here, have cash on hand. You know, we're so tech forward these days, even on this show, we're talking about how technology is moving this disaster preparedness forward, but sometimes you got to go backwards a little bit and do the less technological thing and not pay with your little Apple where you take your phone and you tap it on there. Have you seen that, Gregory, where you just tap your phone? You can't swipe a card. If you have cash, that is the currency of disaster areas. So just to review here, take advantage of your smartphone, take pictures of your financial documents, insurance documents, and the before pictures of all your inventory, the house, the car, everything you're going to need to show the insurance company. Have an emergency fund.
Well, somebody is asking, well, why are we needing cash? Well, there's not going to be electricity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core reason right there. You're going to be transplanted for a short period of time. And when you are still in an area where power's out, and power's probably going to be out for a few days when you're hit with a storm like that, or once again, you're in an emergency situation, you need to have some on hand. I know it's more of a cashless society, but we typically are always needing cash for something, tips and stuff.
Well, in Puerto Rico, they didn't have electricity for like 3 weeks in the big cities and for months in the rural areas. So,
it was longer than that in the big cities.
Oh, I thought they got it turned on like in the capital after just a few weeks. Now it's longer than that. So cash was your only option, unless you're just keeping one heck of a ledger over there. And I doubt that's going on.
Yeah. Cash king.
Boy, there's a little over a million people that are evacuating right now. We know exactly what they're going through. And this is going to be one of those storms that was kind of like Harvey last year, kind of like what happened up in Baton Rouge, Denham Springs 2 years ago. It's a slow moving storm and it's just going to sit on you and drop rain. And they're expecting rain over 3 days. They're going to expect about 30 inches in the worst parts, which that's almost identical to what Harvey and Baton Rouge went through in the last couple of years, respectively. So thoughts and prayers are with the Carolina folks over there all the way up to Virginia. But hey, these phones, man, is there anything they can't do at this point? Because I thought when I read that, I'm like, why haven't I thought of that? Just get all your insurance documents and your social security documents, birth certificates, have a copy of that stuff on your phone. That'd be great. So there you go. All right, next, Gregory, this was in the financial news again today. The man behind the biggest social security fraud in American history was given another 15 years in prison, so that now he's up to 27 years behind bars. It was 12 for the first trial he went to, but there's a separate group of charges. His name's Gregory, guess this guy's last name. We had talked about this con, but I didn't know his name when he got busted a year or so ago. His name is Con. The guy who ran the biggest Social Security con in American history is named Eric Con, C-O-N-N.
Well, how about that coincidence?
Yeah, it was a disability scam, and they're thinking if they added up all the charges and did them in one big trial, it would top $1 billion worth of bogus applications. And it was, it's just awful. All it took was a couple of corrupt doctors and a couple of corrupt judges to pull this off. But the concerning part here is, since this guy's been busted, there hasn't been any reforms to Social Security, the disability side of it, at least, to address this fraud. So there may be another one happening. There may be 10 of these guys doing it right now. There may be thousands. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. Just updating a story we told you about a few months ago. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Join the conversation. It's at 504-260-0995. We can talk about your mutual funds, your 401k. Where are you on retirement? Where are you on the path? What else you want to talk about? The market? Annuities? Had an interesting conversation today. One of many. Pretty busy day for me, as usual. But it's not unusual when the husband is planning to retire. You know, they've come to a decision, or he's made the announcement to the family. It's like, yeah, I think next year's it. It could be end of this year's it. It comes in different forms there. But I'm ready to retire. And then of the couple, when I'm sitting down with them, one of them's going to be concerned. Typically, it's the wife that is like, you know, I'm just concerned. Are we going to have the same cash flow? What are we going to do when I retire? See, then she's worried about the cash flow. Then she's worried about how's it going to affect the cash flow when she retires, is the conversation. So I had one of those today, and we went over a number of things. We were talking about the Social Security. He's not going to have Social Security, because state employee. She's going to have Social Security. She's got a smaller pension. He's got a big pension. So looking at the timing of when those turn on, when to turn on her Social Security, is income going to match up with what they were taking in gross income? And this neighborhood of right at, you know, six-figure income, 100K, we'll call it, ballpark there. And because of delaying on Social Security, there was going to be some draw on assets the first few years to make up that. And then when Social Security turns on, that draw goes away. But then there's other funding things down the road that comes up, and then it plugged in. Okay, we'll have to start taking so much a year to pay for that. That's an obligation that's coming up there. But one of the things is it showed, once we backed off the standard deduction, looked at the tax bracket, state taxes aren't taxing much because of the income sources, not going to be much state income tax there. And you know what? Retirement was really being a lateral move. Now, the first time I built it out for them, I had her retiring 3 years from now. So we went through, I'll say, numbers look good. Well, what if I don't want to work that long? How long you want to work? Till next year, like him. So I matched it up.
Double the fun.
Yeah. And you know what? It still works. So their income was a couple of adjustments on that for timing. But basically, yeah, the income works for them. Real fun session on that. But that's, you know, that's the mindset, the thinking that you have. And they both could be concerned about it and wanting to talk about it. Her standpoint is cash flow. His standpoint is, how are we going to invest to make sure this happens? And he wanted to talk about annuities. He wanted to make sure there's guarantees built into the plan as well. So we talked about fixed annuities in that case. Then they have a good, great pile of emergency money over 100K. So we talked about maybe using a CD annuity for half of that to increase the return, but it's still collateralized money that could be utilized. It fits in to being available when needed down the road if the first half is depleted over time. So, and I just quoted them a 5-year CD annuity at about 4%. Pretty good rate, which by the time this goes into effect, we'll probably have another 2 rate hikes under our belt. So that number would be improved as well.
Well, yesterday you were talking about your options for Social Security if you don't have any assets, and that's work as long as possible. This is the opposite of what you talked about yesterday. They can she can delay turning on her Social Security specifically because they have assets to make that up that time in between when she retires and has to turn it on. She has that option. This is one of the options you were talking about yesterday. And I can see the joy in your face when you were talking about, well, they've got a couple of pensions coming in here and Social Security, so, and other streams of income and assets. That makes your job a little easier, doesn't it? Or at least gives you a few more options. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're looking at streams, both of them has pension. One of them has Social Security. Let's see, what's that? Gives us 3. I'm trying to think.
2 pensions, a Social Security.
2 pensions, Social Security, income from assets. So we're at 4 in that case, 4 streams of income.
And that, and right they're there. Asking about an annuity.
But then I'm kind of grouping the assets from that, but there's some Roth money and a couple of different plans in there. He has retirement plans and she does too as well. So you can kind of look at them when you go to that. That's they've got like 6 streams of income.
So it sounds like
and some tax diversity because they've got qualified assets and non-qualified assets.
So there's going to be some RMDs kicking in when they hit their 70s, but that'll be their raise, right?
Yeah, and I was factoring in that they're in their early 60s, we'll say. So when you're looking at kicking out income, say retirement essentially is somewhere about 6 months off. So then we looked at turning income on into next year and then pulling from assets about 3 years, then a gap, then start pulling again for another obligation down the road, which also kind of falls into timing with the RMDs as well, which we're going to need to be taking income from that also.
Boy, too bad those pensions are going away because that sure is useful. And I don't mean their pensions. I mean, just pensions overall. Or
well, they don't have to go away. You just have to go about handling it differently. Everybody could build their own pensions. We've got some great tools for that, building pension-like income.
Good point. All right. Financial situations, bring them on. 504-260-0995. I'm interested in hearing more of their little story. Maybe we should plan to walk that one out for one of our podcast episodes that we're building up for the library. Speaking of Social Security, I have an update on some Social Security reforms that are being pitched. This one is being led by a guy named U.S. Representative John Larson in the House, and his little effort here has been accepted by the his big party comrades in the Senate as well, Elizabeth Warren and Debbie Dingell and Connor Lamb, and there's a bunch of people that are on this one in the Senate as well. But it's some changes to Social Security. One of them would be lifting the tax or raising the tax on it and raising the cap. You know, they stop taxing you at what was it, $128,000, whatever the Social Security cap is. They're talking about raising that one. And it's something that's been tossed around, but whenever they put pen to paper here, you can't discount this just because it's in the minority party. These are the kinds of things that are going to be thrown out there like, well, you know, if you want funding for your wall, maybe you can give us this. And it's got enough legs on here that I think we need to start really taking a look at this. But that's not necessarily too bad of a way to sort of fix Social Security, shorten it up. I would prefer some spending cuts, but that's not politically palatable. So raising the taxes and raising the cap on the income that is affected by the tax is what's the big part of this bill. And I think it has a chance.
Yeah, it kind of cracks me up a little bit on that. But look, the definite fix, even without raising the income cap, and part of the problem on keep raising that is you keep creating more, a higher payout for those as well. So that's not necessarily a safe way to go, because you're taxing them more, which creates more of a payout to the larger income earner.
Just because the way the formula works?
Yes. Yeah. But if they raise, you know, it's been quite a while since the tax on payroll on both sides, you know, what are we about 12.5% both for the total of that. So if they raise it about 1.4% on each of the sides, the employee side and the employer side, that fix it for about 75 years. Okay. There's quite a few decades to figure out what to do next or see how things play out. And let's say that number's too far out, it fixes it for 50 years. Okay. That's good. I see that as the best fix, not to cut benefits anymore. They already whacked that, you know, what, 3 years ago when they pretty much eliminated the deeming, the, you know, being able to defer and increase by drawing spousal benefits. The file and suspend is gone, which also created a deeming effect to grow the assets. And so I just don't think they're going to want to keep going after that, taxing more of those. That's not where it's at. It's a little bit from everybody getting more.
All right. Just want to update you now that we have pen to paper. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or text from the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Love me some wine. Don't hide it. Don't lock it up. This is Winning It Life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7 o'clock. Give you an hour. Join the conversation. Maybe you need some guidance or direction. But we're going to talk about financial ideas like emergency money, creating multiple streams of income, creating tax diversity. Hey, how about more tax-free income? Gentleman I was talking to today, we kind of had a conversation. It tied in politics, economy, GDP, government debt, where we're headed and what things need to be happening. For things to go well. With that said, I know one thing. We have 8 more years on these tax brackets, these lower taxes, and which means this is an opportunity that if you're doing Roth conversions, putting away money, you know, paying taxes on money, putting it away, or using it to create a max funding strategy for tax-free income, we have 8 years. Taxes are on sale because I expect them to go up in the future. You should plan for it. And if it doesn't, okay, good. I just do not see how it gets lower with the deficits that we have. Now, with that said, what crazy things we're doing as a country, government, and stuff globally, it is unsustainable. Because it just keeps running up the debt. We'll have to face that. But what we can do is do something about our participation and start shifting funds. Now, the next topic takes me into just like a conversation I had with a couple. I said, retirement looks like about 30 years for you. You know, think about it. If you're retiring, say 61, 62, life expectancy for both of them, when a couple makes it to 65, life expectancy for the females, a little over 90, and for the male, it's a little bit less than 90. The spread is about 3 years apart statistically. When you make it to 65, it narrows how far you're looking out. So then if you're retiring, you know that, and you're retiring and knowing that every decade life expectancy is going to probably increase by about 1.5%. So, you know, there's going to be some more time added on before you get there. Does that go that way for everybody? No, it doesn't. Some's going to move on earlier, that heart attack at 78, you know, and some are going to live well into the 90s as well. But when we think about 30 years, what does inflation possibly look at? What is your purchasing power going to be? And actually, I have 25 items. See, I actually picked this up from the Motley Fool article here. And, you know, when we talk about inflation, we try to put a percentage to it, but looking at things that we utilize often, it's kind of surprising when you go back and think about it. You know, when I do some of my public events, there's a couple slides I like to use, show what a Big Mac cost in 1974. And another one's related to
how much a gallon of gas was.
Yeah. Gallon of gas. So,
by the way, the Big Mac, how much was it in 1974? I'm waiting on the guy to guess. No, it was 65 cents. 65 cents. And that was almost 40 years ago. And we did the math on a show a couple of years ago. That means in 30 years, the Big Mac's going to be a little over $20. And that's just if it follows the same trajectory it's been
on. I don't try to scare them. That's scary when you think about it. However, you have to think, it's going to cost more. Let's put this in perspective. We're talking about 1988. That's the year Toni Morrison's book, Beloved, won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. Paul Simon's Graceland won the Album of the Year Grammy.
Really?
World population was 5 billion. George Bush was elected president over Michael Dukakis. God, I didn't even, if you was to ask me, who did he beat? I'd have had to think about that a little bit.
The only thing I remember from that election is Michael Dukakis bobbing around in that tank with the goofy helmet on. I was 11. What am I supposed to remember?
Household income in America was about $25,000 a year. In today's dollars, that'd be about $55,000 based on U.S. Census Bureau information on that. We'll start with number one, college education. We've talked about college a lot this week, mostly the debt side of it. And for the 1987-88 school year, tuition for a four-year college, tuition at a private four-year college was $15,160, while it was $3,190 at the public four-year institution. Well, things have changed. 2017 to 2018 school year, $34,740 for private colleges, $99.70 for state residents at public colleges.
Whew. Boy, that's stiff.
How about a wedding? $25,764 as of 2017 is the average cost.
Brutal.
Yeah, so cost estimates vary, but you know, costofwedding.com website pegs the national average of a wedding, $25,764. And while the Knot.com reported $33,391, how does that compare to 30 years ago? Oh, about $10,379. So you can kind of say, well, that's tripled. How about bacon? Recent cost of bacon.
Finally, average, something important.
Yeah.
You know, college, weddings, whatever.
$5.25 a pound for a sliced bacon. We're going back. At 1988, cost was about $1.90 a pound. That's 113% increase. Movie tickets.
$5.
We were talking about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Coming to America, Bull Durham, Die Hard was $4.11.
That's close.
Currently, that price is running about $9.27 from boxofficemojo.com. Gasoline. 30 years ago, average price of a gallon of gas was 96 cents, and we're seeing it high as $4.11 per gallon a decade ago during the summer of 2008. National average recently was about $2.87. Pretty hefty increase. Milk. Is that something you use in your household, James?
All them four kids, children? Yeah, constantly. I'm about to buy a cow.
Yeah, 30 years ago, gallon of milk was how much?
I'd say $1.20.
$2.19.
Oh, I was way under it.
Fast forward today and the price is around
$4.50.
I'm showing here $2.89.
Nuh-uh. Show me where you're getting that.
Let's see. 88. Fast forward to today and the price is around $2.89.
It only went up like 60 cents?
32%. I don't know. I find I pay more than that.
Yeah.
For milk.
If it's a gallon, yeah. It's like $4.
As well. So,
$5 if you get the good stuff.
Yeah, so that seems a little bit off. But, you know, when you compare, think about what you're paying to what it was then. It still isn't some crushing number. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not paying $5. Maybe in Hawaii and Alaska.
Where cows are a little more scarce.
Yeah.
But here's the pattern here. The prices have at least doubled for most everything, usually more like tripled, especially if it's something subsidized like college.
Houses. How much was the average median home?
Oh, man. $60,000.
$110,000.
Today,
the median home sale price, $323,000.
That's crazy. That can't be right.
Oh, apples. Apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Red Delicious apples cost an average of $1.32 late 2017. So back in 88, apples cost about 80 cents per dozen.
So that only went up about 50%.
Yeah, 65% increase. When we come back, I'm going to hit you with Apple stock and a first class stamp and some more. How about a computer? What's the price difference?
How about that Amazon stock? Not even born yet. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, Daily Wrap. We have a few minutes left in the show. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. The number to join us is 504-260-0995. Go and like us on the friend us, like us over on Facebook. My page is Gregory Ricks, the Winning at Life show, the firm Gregory Ricks Associates, Women Winning at Life. Number of pages there to hook up with. We're live on Facebook Live right now, live on live. Periscope as well, so you could see the show as we're doing it, because it is live show. We're doing it now. You can watch as we do this. The app connects you to picking us up on the stream, texting us and such. That's the Winning at Life app, so it tells you what to type into the store. So we were kind of talking about inflation. So when you're thinking about what should I be planning for, what should I spend? One thing it's easy to say, you probably should expect everything to be minimum double what it is now. How about Apple stock? Let's see, the summer of 88, its shares were trading at 10 cents a piece.
Good Lord.
I go back and somebody comes by with one of those time machines, I'm going back there.
Yeah.
Get me a few dollars worth, I'll be okay.
However many
$50 bill, buy a lot of stock.
However many dollars you can scrounge up, you need to put every single one of them to that stock.
Let's see. Then the price adjusted to reflect various stock splits that have occurred since then. That would put, let's see, on August 20th. Yep. So we're talking about $207 a share compared to 10 cents. There's your inflation on that. First class stamp, 22 cents to 25 cents. So there was a rate adjustment there. Today's rate is twice that, representing 50 cents a stamp. Did you know how much they were?
It's not 41 cents.
No, I spend a bunch of money on postage,
that's
but
what I guessed.
I didn't know what they cost. I figured it was 55 or something. There, personal computer. Wow. Let's see, 1988, personal computer, the Tandy 1000 TL. You ever get to see one of those? Which used an Intel 8286 chip. Featured 3.5-inch floppy disk drive. Oh, it had some RAM, 640 kilobytes.
I had a Tandy computer.
Yeah, cost around $1,400.
I don't think it was an 8286. I think it was an 8086. I'm not going to argue with the column. Yeah. I'm just saying.
In today's dollars, that would be about $21.55, a little over $2,000. For around $400, you can get a Dell desktop computer with 8 gigabytes of RAM and a hard drive instead of floppy disk.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, the computer my parents got for me when I was in high school, I was a junior in high school, it cost them almost $2,000, somewhere in the neighborhood there. I get that this computer, this laptop in front of me, a fraction of the size.
What'd you pay? About $300 for that?
This was a $300 laptop, and it would blow that one out of the water. And it had a dinky little, like, 13-inch screen. It was awful looking back.
Yeah, so considering this is something that does so much more, yet has gone down in price.
Yes.
suppose $400 to what would have been $2,155 in adjusted dollars for that machine that didn't do too darn much.
Well, you know what else is right in that same wheelhouse is televisions. Televisions, first off, they used to weigh 800 pounds if you're going to get a big screen one. But
screen TV, 35 inches now, dude. 35 inches.
Which isn't even a big screen.
Mitsubishi Diamond Vision. Featured CRT display technology, resolution of 480 lines for around $3,000.
Oh, my goodness.
You were enjoying some football back then.
And that was, what was it, 35-inch, 37-inch? How big was
35
that?
35 inches. That would be in adjusted dollars, $4,600. Meanwhile, today you can buy a 60-inch 4K Ultra HD LED TV for $700 or less.
That is amazing.
Hey, for $4,000, you know what $4,000 gets you? About 85 inches today.
They don't make TVs that are $4,000. You would get the Jumbotron that's on top of, or outside the New Orleans Arena right now.
Okay, so eggs. Let's get back to food.
Okay.
Dozen large eggs. Recently, $1.63.
Yeah, sounds about right.
71 cents in 88.
They more than doubled.
Bread, $1.28.
Well, hang on now.
Compared to 60 cents.
What's just a dollar? Because some of this stuff, the price isn't rising faster than inflation. So if we didn't have like the Federal Reserve System like deliberately inflating our money every year, these prices would be going down. These are declining prices because we have the productivity and the innovations to, you know, milk the cows faster with better machines and the logistics to get the milk to the refinery or to the store or the packaging places. We've all improved all this. We should see prices going down, or we would see prices going down if we didn't fiddle with the money.
You are talking about efficiencies, but these aren't like, you know, it's not like it was 71 cents and cost $5 today. We're talking 30 years and you're not seeing, you know, that's an increase of 131%, but that doesn't seem like, okay, 71 and now $1.63. Does it seem very out of whack from that standpoint? Okay. How about this bit of technology? Cell phones. You didn't think they were around then, huh?
I remember car phones were there.
Let's see. When did I get my...
My parents got a bag phone in 1991 that had that giant bag that was all battery.
This is about the time I picked up one. In 1988, a Motorola, which that's what it was.
Yep.
Big old heavy thing. Dynatac 8500 XL weighed 28 ounces, cost $2,500.
Oh my God.
That'd be about $38.50 in today's dollars. So when you think about it, people said, like, you know, the iPhone X, I don't know, it's a grand. I heard Warren Buffett say recently that cell phone, you know, those smartphones, he said they should cost more. They're really good value.
Shh.
Well, he's a pretty big shareholder in Apple.
Oh, okay.
Now, by the way, in case you didn't know. New Apple iPhone X weighing a little more than 6 ounces. Like, geez, Yeah, that was some heavy phone. You were going to be holding it upside your head.
Well, the Fresh Prince had the brick phone. He didn't have the bag phone. He had the one that was like an Acme brick with a giant antenna on it.
Yeah, I had that.
Those were
stout.
That
was after the bag one.
So that was like $3,500. I never priced them when
$2,500 back then, $38.50 in adjusted dollars. So you can get you one of those iPhone X for about $1,000, new iPhone 7 for about $550 with about the same features as the X. Let's see, let's hit.
Did it take any good pictures though? Your cell phone in 1988.
It did not take any. I was worried about how my brain was going to be fried with those analog phones. I don't know if that was happening or whatever.
Nah, we're
but
fine.
You know, that was kind of the worries back then. Like, what is this thing?
Yeah, brain cancer
doing to me. Internet access. If you had, let's see, CompuServe for about $6 to $47.50 an hour, which would be $13 to $101 in adjusted dollars today. We're talking about it was slow dial-up connection of 300 baud to 9600 baud.
Oh my God.
Yeah, kind of slow, huh? Let's see. So we're looking at what, 50 to 60 a month now?
Right.
Average speed of service recently around 200. What's that, MBPs? Yeah.
30 yeah. times. Megabits per second.
30,000 times faster.
Well, 300 baud, that's 300 bits. And then like when you had the 14.4K or the 56K, that was 56,000 bits. We're up to 2.whatever million bits, the megabits.
Coffee, $2, $2.74, $2.74 in 1988. Recently average about $4.29. Shows average increase, what? An increase of about 57%, reflecting slower growth than overall, which increased by 113% due to inflation. Over in China and Russia, your coffee's running you about $7 to $12.
What's going on with those guys?
Yeah, I don't know. Hard drive memory, we've got camera, electricity. How about that? Kilowatt hour electricity cost an average of 8.5 cents. I think 1988.
I think I'm paying 12 now, right?
And it's about 13 now. Oh, cents.
Well, we're getting a break. We're below the national average then.
And this will be the last one for the show here. Color printer. Back in 1988, you could get a fancy printer, 24 pin dot matrix, one printed in color, taking about 30 seconds to 10 minutes for one page.
A dot matrix.
That would be around $995 or $21.26 in adjusted dollars. And you can find it for less than $175. And it will shoot the paper out at you. This has been Winning at Life. If you'd like daytime help, I'm helping you here all I can, but you probably need more. Call me tomorrow. Let's help find where you are on the path. Find out about the multiple streams of income, tax diversity, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.